Everybody clap your hands. Start to go in the rhythm. All right. You guys have become such a clappy church. It's just unbelievable. We've been working on that. For those of you that are visiting, we have never clapped. And well, not well anyway. And so we're getting there. We started our series in Acts, one with that video and two with the sound of clapping, because rhythms of the church was really what the video talked about, and that was our introduction. So we started talking about these different rhythms and that God has this songbook. It's a steady beat for people to walk and live and even dance to what God has done in his design. It's the work that Jesus continues to do. And so what we saw there in that video, just a brief introduction, is you see Jesus living, teaching, he died, he came back, he taught the kingdom of God, he ascended into the clouds, and then the Spirit came about 10 days later to fell on the apostles, and the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then Peter preaches a message, and what we saw just from that section is we started to pick up these different rhythms, and one of the first rhythms that we picked up was right up on the screen, that it's all about Jesus. We actually started our series in Acts in Luke, where we looked at the idea that Jesus was walking along the road with these two guys on this road to Emmaus, and he starts talking to them and revealing that throughout all the Old Testament scriptures, they all point to this man named Jesus. And we see Jesus as the pinnacle of history, that all that we see in art and culture and even our calendar is circulated around this guy that came, lived, and died, and the claim that he rose again from the dead. As we continue to continue in what Jesus began to do and teach as the church. And so we as a church, as a small church, in regards to the bigger church that's existed for the last 2,000 years, God has this rhythm. And then he calls us by his word to begin to start to walk in that rhythm. And one of those rhythms is that our lives, the word and our lives and this church is all about Jesus. Janice became a member here in April of 2016. She was unable to come this morning. She's out of town visiting family, so she wrote her testimony for her. And I still remember this day very clearly. She came walking out, and I said, she's been a practicing Christian for over 30 years. In that time, either her or her husband, Jim, have attended countless Bible studies, attended church regularly the entire time. And during this time, she encountered some health issues almost on a daily basis. But her faith is strong. But the gospel didn't seem to be speaking to her. She just didn't quite get it. And circumstances weren't changing. It just became very humdrum. And through the sermons here, she realized that she might have been reading the gospel, but she wasn't actually applying it. And after all this time, she says, her words, "I feel like I'm seeing God's word with freshly opened eyes." She was awakened to the gospel message after 30 years of attending church. Amen. 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 I still remember that. She walks. It was just right out here greeting everybody as they were leaving, and with a little bit of tear in her eyes, she said, "I finally get it. I finally understand the gospel." She would go on to say she has a long way to go, but she's so grateful for this church and that she's learning even at her age that she has a lot to learn, but most importantly, practice. And she said, "Thanks for all that have been walking beside her as she continues to grow." It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And the great thing is we assume that Christians understand the gospel message. That for some reason, if you've been going to church for a really long time, the understanding that you have been set free and forgiven by Jesus is this thing that just kind of like, you know, oh yeah, I know that. But we need the Holy Spirit to really awaken our minds to be able to understand this idea. Because here's the disconnect. When the sun sets you free, you are? How much freedom are you guys feeling? Right there in that moment. where it's like we understand the truths of Scripture, but our experience of it is very different. And so what we've been doing throughout the, what we started with, the rhythms of the church, is laying a strong foundation for us as a church, being all about Jesus and being able to understand that really just the simple principles of the gospel, that his life, death, and resurrection actually sets you free, and you can be free today. Even as a Christian, you can have freedom. Don't our souls just want to be forgiven? But we don't truly know we're forgiven. But when we believe in what Jesus Christ has done, we can say and affirm against all of our doubts, against all of our fears, against all of our frustrating circumstances, and even against the evil one and all the accusations he might make towards us, I am forgiven based on what Jesus has done for me. The historical reality that this guy lived 2,000 years ago. The other rhythms of the church were kingdom-minded, spirit-filled, witness, called to be a witness, called to pray, called to have leadership, diversity, that the kingdom just isn't made up of white dudes or, you know, certain sort of, but it's that there were diverse in our race and our culture and our creeds, and then generosity. And when the church lives in the rhythms of the Spirit, it begins to grow, not just in numbers, but also in depth. And so I wanted to give you a quick little update on where we are at with the church as we begin to live in this. This is our attendance chart. It looks pretty funky, I'm not going to lie. But do you see that line right there? That's a line that kind of hits the average. And we have been growing since July of last year. July of last year. I've been here about a year and a half. And since that time, yeah, amen, amen. We went from a monthly average of a little, right around 50, and then we averaged 85 people, last month, with some services in upwards of 100 people. It's been a long time since this church has seen that kind of numbers, and it's awesome, and I praise God for it. But this is what the Word of God does. The Word of God brings growth. We also got to celebrate 2 baptisms. Okay, that's something. 2 people publicly proclaiming their faith through baptism. So not only are we growing, so that's wide, but we're also growing in depth. Our giving is on a steady rise. The next one is our giving. You see that line? That's since July of last year. We have been, a little bit before that, have been slowly but surely going up in our giving. We increased our budget pretty aggressively last year. And as of October, we are 2.21% ahead of budget. Yay! I will say that November has started off really slow. So, just in case, just by way of reminder, we have offering boxes located in the back. And if you didn't know, you can also give online. There's a website right there. It's our website, /give. Has directions on how to give, no fees if you go through PayPal, or you can use a credit card or a debit card. We also have 10 new members that have taken our recent class and have completed the quiz and discipleship form, and they will be introduced and voted in soon. 10 new members just this last time. So, and then we also have planted another community group. That community group starts on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m., and that is at Kurt and Haley's house. And so all these, and we're going to bring them up right after the sermon, but all these are indicators that not only are we growing in width, but we're also growing in depth, that we're growing in new community groups, and people are being discipled and cared for and loved on, that we're growing in our giving, which always speaks to the idea of maturity in our faith. And also, we're growing in numbers and members and people coming to the Lord. And I've already talked to at least 2 people that want to get baptized as well. And so we have some more baptisms coming up. And so it is definitely all indicators, again, that we're not just growing in width, but depth. As we continue what Jesus began to do and teach and live in the rhythms of the church. And so we took a break from Acts through the summer where we just kind of hit the pause button and we went through the Psalms, and then we started back in the book of Acts right after summer was over with mission, sent to speak and respond to God's work of redemption. Acts 1:8, as we saw in the video, says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And what that scripture has done is it has broken up, just like you saw, the three sections of what the book of Acts talks about. And so this is our working definition, that our working definition is that we were sent, we as God's people are sent. So there is a going, there is a verb, there is an action to it. Sent to speak, there is a proclamation to being on mission. And response speaks to our gratitude and our character and our worship by which we then respond to the gospel work. But it's God's work of redemption. It's God's work of redemption. We've had 10 sermons in this series, all with the focus of reaching our local context. So it's mission to the neighborhood is what we're losing for Jerusalem. Mission to our neighborhood. And so I asked for testimonies from people about how those 10 weeks of sermon series, how they have been on mission. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they have conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." This is one story. A few weeks ago, I noticed a homeless woman outside a bookstore in Carpinteria I was entering. The skin on her legs looked diseased, and she was morbidly obese. The dog approached her, and she commented on him, and then I went to the bookstore. I came out of the store with my dog and got in the car, but I felt led to go back and pray for her. I asked what she needed prayer for, and she told me how she had fallen on bad times and been diagnosed with cancer a few years ago and was trying to get to a cancer center to start treatments. I prayed for her right then and there, something I have not done for a stranger in a long time. She was receptive, and it was cool to speak into her life and tell her God loved her and was going to help her. Now I'd like to invite Diane up to share. Let's give Diane a hand. She's super nervous.
First of all, forgive me if I break down into tears, because I'm one of those that, if Goleta Valley is supposed to save water, then I'm one of the most guilty ones. But I've always been a quiet Christian as far as, you know, speaking the word to people. And the other day I was at Trader Joe's, and there was a clean-cut gentleman sitting outside in front of Trader Joe's holding a sign. He wasn't asking for money. So I went up to him and I said, "Are you hungry?" And he said, "Yeah, I'd like a sandwich." And so, "Is there any particular type of sandwich that you'd like?" And he said, "Yes." And he even walked into the store and showed me which sandwich it was. So I came back outside and he was sitting there waiting for his sandwich. And I just turned to him and I said, "What is your story? What brought you here?" And I can't remember it all because it's all such a blur. And apparently he came from Santa Maria with his girlfriend, lost her jobs, don't have housing. You know, things are just really difficult. And I just said, "Can I pray for you?" Like, where'd that come from? So I held his hand and I just prayed, you know, that God would bless him, that he would find him, you know, housing, you know, work, and, you know, different things like that. And I didn't pray like, "Do you know the Lord?" I just prayed for him. And then he thanked me, and then he said, "Where's your church?" I told him where our church was located. And I got into my car, and I sat there, and I said, like, "What just happened?" Because I've never done that before. So God's leading of the Holy Spirit, the bravery of stepping out. Anyway, so I still think about him and wonder where he is.
See, that's the thing is that I think some of us think that listening to the Spirit and being on mission is like standing up on a soapbox somewhere on a busy street corner and proclaiming Jesus. I mean, it might be if God calls you to that. I don't know. But I know that listening to the Spirit is what God has asked us to do as we live into the rhythms of what he has called us to do. And just hearing Diane when she first told me that testimony, that she's never done that before. She's never asked, just kind of, you know, asked a stranger to pray. That's such a huge, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. That's what God is calling us to. It's just whatever that is for you, that small step. Another member at our church tells a similar story that he was walking into Starbucks, and he went in and he saw a man out front, and he felt the Holy Spirit say, "Hey, go talk to that guy." And he went in, got his coffee, went out. The Holy Spirit urged him again to go talk to that guy, but he got into his car and didn't. At that point, and realized he had forgot his keys in Starbucks. I think the Spirit ordained that, and then he went and talked to that man. Hebrews 13:1-2 says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." Did you know that? Sometimes just reaching down and praying for somebody, or just reaching over and buying someone a coffee, this could be an angel entertained by our willingness to listen to the Spirit of God. As we entered into our series, we saw Peter do something similar with John. There was a man who had been out at the gate, and he was unable to walk. And there he was, unable to walk, asking and begging at this time of worship. And Peter looks over and says the famous line, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." And this man who was born crippled, who was over 40 years old, unable to walk until then, found strength in his legs and he rose. Reaching out to the outcast and the downcast creates opportunity for us to share our message. It's living into God's work of redemption. See, God is going to help who he wants to help. Here, let me say that again. Because I feel like there's this misnomer out there that, in fact, I just heard this. I'm stealing this from another sermon that I just recently heard. That there's this misconception out there that, like, right before you get into heaven, so you're, like, right there, and you're right at the gate, and that right before you enter, Jesus goes, "Hold on a second, I want to point you over to hell, and all the people that could have been here had you listened to me." Is that theologically correct? No, but I feel like that's there. I feel like that we feel like 80, 90, 100% of the burden of people's salvation is on us. Christian, it's God's work of redemption. God is going to redeem. And so it's not, God is going to save who he wants to save. So it's not an obligation, in the words of my son Jacob. It's an invitation to be a part of what God is doing. It's not an obligation, it's an invitation to step in. God will help who he wants to help. So the question is, will you be the one who does? It's God's work and you are invited. When we do, it helps us to live into who we are called to be. See, it's not just healing for the other person. I think we can all attest, if you've been there, it's healing to us too. Now, why is that? Because it begins to tap into who we were meant to be. It begins to tap into this, like, imago Dei, which means the image of God, where we have this, like, oh, man, that's how it feels when we're right with God and right with others, and then living that out. Faith with works. Janet Price, who most of us know, has been struggling and is on the other side and in recovery of cancer. She is unable to be here this morning. She also is visiting family. But she tells the story of when she was listening to these last 10 series, and she was in the recovery center as she's going through her chemo treatments, and she just found this boldness about herself. This something in her that just said, "Can I pray for you? Can I talk to you about Jesus? Can I? And so here she was getting treated for cancer, and yet she's reaching out to others. It's so easy in that moment and in our despair and in our, I mean, like, oh, life feels so overwhelming. I don't want to be on mission. But sometimes mission is the very thing that steps us out of our depression. And much like Janet is, she's just reaching out and feeling joy. And you could tell when she was talking about it. She just, you know, that like we saw on Stephen's face, like an angel. That kind of brightness of face. The gospel can help us. Being on mission can help us, even in our current despair. So I'm going to invite Shaughnessy up to share her story. Please welcome Shaughnessy.
Hey, I'm gonna read mine so that hopefully I don't cry through it. So my name is Shaughnessy. My husband Matthew and I have been attending GVC for the last few months. We're not yet members, but we hope to be very soon. I'm grateful for this opportunity to share what God has been doing in my life in order that he may receive glory and that others may be encouraged. My husband and I cannot conceive. We have sought doctors, gone through various medical procedures, only to be told that without a third party, I will never be pregnant. This was devastating to me and my husband. It was a very strong desire of mine to become a mother. We spent some time grieving and praying about what to do, and eventually we decided to adopt. God blessed us with our beautiful Kai. Kai is every bit my child. It amazes me. God knew how perfectly Kai would fit into our family. I've always been very grateful to God for this gift, but still, I couldn't come to terms with the fact that we were infertile, and I hoped for a miracle. During the attempts to adopt another child, we had two failed adoptions, one of which really broke our hearts. Knowing that God could do anything, I prayed constantly for him to heal our infertility. Though I could see that God had done something so wonderful in bringing us Kai, I wanted more children, and I was still hoping to have a child in the traditional way. But to be totally transparent, I still wanted my way and was hesitant to trust him through another costly and stressful adoption process. All this time, a bitterness was brewing inside of me. I compared my life to others, and I found it difficult to rejoice with those who had been blessed with children in the way that I wanted. Adoption can be an incredible act of love between birth parents, adopted parents, and a child, but it also inherently comes with heartache. It was difficult for me to wrap my head around sharing my child with his birth parents. I was so jealous of any woman who was able to carry children, experience childbirth, and nurse a baby without the ever lingering presence of birth parents. I thought if I could just experience this once, I could be happy. It was a very dangerous way of thinking for me, which took the focus off of God and his sovereignty and his will for my life. It was a selfish pity that kept me from serving him wholeheartedly. This last sermon series on Acts has really motivated me to determine whether there's anything in the way of me serving God in my community. I really wanted to let go of this bitterness, and I was so tired of battling these negative thoughts and desires. I spent a lot of time in prayer asking God to help me let go of these desires so that I can be grateful for what I have and rejoice with others who have been blessed. Something that Bobby said about how God was using his insecurities to keep him humble resonated with me. Could it be possible that beyond the amazing gift of Kai's adoption, God was using infertility for a special purpose in me? Then I realized through all these adoptions, I've needed him every step of the way. Every adoption, even the ones that don't work out, is teaching me to be patient, to trust him, to work diligently, and to open my hearts to the needs of others. I know now he's calling me to adopt children, and that cannot be done out of my own might. And if you saw how bad I was filling out forms, you would know this to be true. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I'm amazed today to say that I am thankful that God told me no. I'm grateful for infertility. I'm grateful because it's leading me to a place that requires me to submit to His will instead of demanding my own way. I was hoping for a miracle, and God did something miraculous in my life. He gave me the ability to give thanks in this circumstance. During this sermon series, I was reminded of what God called me to do, to share the gospel. Up until now, I had so much fear with regard to birth parents, and now I see they're an opportunity to evangelize. I feel very humbled and appreciative that God has given me opportunities to witness to birth parents, birth mothers and fathers, and to pray for them, to encourage them, and to be a mother to little ones that may have not otherwise had an opportunity to hear the gospel. I have tremendous joy now as I let go of what I want and look to God, what God would have me do. I'm ready and excited to be used for His work. It won't be easy, but God has shown me the secret to contentment. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Thank you, Shaughnessy. Takes a lot of boldness to share like that, and I appreciate you. To be a witness, even in the middle of our struggles and our fears and our imperfections, to be able to say, hey, because another misconception is that before I share the gospel, I have to have all my ducks in a row. Another misconception is like I have to be able to know all things as far as apologetics and the defense of the faith. But we see uneducated men like Peter, as the Holy Spirit comes on him, fills him up, and he proclaims the gospel two times, and thousands of people come to know who Jesus is and experience freedom and forgiveness for the first time. Stephen, a man hit by Peter's sermon and filled with the Holy Spirit, not only was able to withstand with his wisdom some of the most educated men in Judaism, but then he addresses the council and points them to Jesus, a simple message with profound power. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." We not only have power in the Spirit, but we also have power in the simple message. That no matter where you're at or who you are, Jesus died for you. That He rose again from the dead for you. And that if you believe that, you can have eternal life. That simple message. Now I want to invite Beth up. You ready for this, Beth? No. Let's give her a hand. Beth, right over here. And then Jen, when she's done, you'll be right over here.
I have been a Christian a while, but and I've had a heart to witness to people at work, and I don't know. I've tried to bribe people, I guess, to get to church, and I mean, one time I had this friend that or coworker that I would. She came to church and things were going great, and then she stopped coming, and she's like, "Oh, you know, remind me, nag me about going to church," and I'm like, "Okay." And then she got mad at me for nagging her to come to church. So I kind of have given up for a while in talking to people because it just, for me, gets frustrating. But I'm at an office right now where I feel like God put me there to specifically speak to my coworker And I've just made myself available, and just then, like, all of a sudden, we're talking about God. And she just knew, like, she even admitted, she's like, oh, I think somebody's after me. I'm like, yeah, he is. And so, you know, and I've been praying for her, and then I started to get frustrated because I would invite her to church and I would text her, and then she's like, no, I didn't feel like it. And so I'm like, okay. And but all through the midst of it, I was just like, when I heard the sermon about we don't have to have it all together, we don't have to be this perfect Christian to talk to people about God, I'm like, okay. I've been trying to do 75% of the work and letting God do the 25%, and that hasn't worked out very well. And so just after hearing that, I'm like, I can let God do this. All I have to do is talk and pray and listen to where people are in their journey and their life, and he'll do the rest. And so a couple weeks ago, I was just so glad to come in to work on Monday, and she was like, I went to church. I'm like, cool. That's it. Thank you.
So most of you know, I have been at this church since I was 5, and I accepted Jesus into my heart since I was a kid. But growing up, I thought that that's all I needed to do, was just have Jesus in my heart, and that was my life. I go to church, but as I grew older, I came to realize that I have responsibilities, and that's to share the gospel with non-Christians, and that scared me, mostly because I am so fearful to maybe say the wrong thing or not have the right answer or not express Jesus' love boldly enough to convince them that this is what they need in their life. And so I kept putting it behind me, and I wouldn't accept that I needed to do that. And then this past year, I got married, and I started building these amazing friendships. My heart of worship came back, and I just wanted to know Jesus so much more, and I wanted to share that with everybody, but I was still scared. And with all the goodness that's happened in my life, there's also been really hard times too. I had a miscarriage in September, and that was really hard. But what made me the most sad was my friends who were non-Christians who were comforting me. I was sad for them because I knew that I will get to hold my baby again one day, but they don't get to have that experience. And so I prayed a bold prayer, and boy, did God answer that prayer, because there was a day that me and Haley were at a coffee shop, and we were talking about life, just everything you can imagine. And right next to me was actually a friend of mine. And when we were leaving, we saw each other and we were like, hey, how's it going? And she asked me what church me and Haley went to. And so we told her, and then we made plans to meet again. And it was so exciting. It was so exciting. Me and Haley did a dance in the parking lot right after. And so then we met again the following Sunday, and we just got to know each other a little bit more. We talked about Jesus, and then we were going to meet again another Sunday, and I was cleaning the house, and Haley ended up canceling, and so then I was like, I have to go by myself. And so I was trying to convince myself every reason not to go. And then I remembered Bobby's sermon, and his sermon simply said, we're just called to love one another, and that it's okay to not know the answer to everything. And so I went to meet with her again, and all I said was that Jesus's love for me has changed my life so much. And she's come to church the past couple of Sundays now, and it's just been such a wonderful experience, and I'm so excited to be with her on this journey. But overall, what I learned about all of this is that it is not about me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus, and I need to share that with everyone else. And so I know that I have a purpose, and I am so excited to do that. Thank you.
We have one more testimony, that I want to share. And before we do, though, to pray a bold prayer. This is one of the sermons that we had that you mentioned. I've challenged all of us to do so. And that prayer is to see people get saved, to see for God to use you. God, use me to save some, to save one. And so I want to invite Rick up to come and share a testimony. Rick.
I'm really nervous, too. So, you know, mission, it's such a descriptive word, and sometimes that mission is really within your own household. So this is a little bit less about reaching out to others, which I've talked with others that I have done that, and I feel kind of a calling to do that. So I'm going to read this, and the reason I'm going to read this is because if I don't read this, I'm going to get outside the confines of this particular topic and go about my life history, and that'll be a half an hour. So I want to do that someday, just so you know. I do want to do that, but for this purposes of this, I would just want to share a little bit. So I will read. And also, it speaks to what Bobby said earlier in his prayer about just trusting Jesus, and I needed to be able to do that. And I want to describe to you kind of why that is. So, you know, the storyline kind of comes back to December of last year, and when I basically said that my true acceptance of Jesus was back in December. And the decision was at that point to make real change in my life. So, I mean, real change in my life. So you can say it or you can be about it. And I was about wanting to be about that. So I wanted to make these changes for my life, for myself, and for my family as well. So basically, I always kind of felt like the Lord was leading me in my spirit, right? So it feels like over the last 8 months, and remember, the time frame we're talking about is from December to now. That's not that long. And so for the first 8 months or so, I felt like I was kind of walking on these Holy Spirit shoes, a little bit above the ground and just doing, you know, the good work that I was called to do without any real education of what the Bible has to say about it, just kind of speaking from the heart. And so I was doing that, and then I found myself in a spot where I wasn't being led in that way as I had been led. I'm not going to read this. We're just going to talk about it. So it won't be a half an hour, I promise. But I felt in a position that I had not been in the past, and it was new to me. And what that was I wasn't being spirit-led in the way that I was used to. You know, get up and you put your pants on, you're like, man, I feel Jesus today. But it started kind of waning a little off, the drip, as we've talked about in church before. And I was puzzled by that and what that really meant for me overall. And I think that might be something that others have experienced through their Christian life, that it's not always the spiritual high, as I call it. And so I struggled with that a little bit, and I prayed on it. And, you know, lo and behold, my prayers were answered in the form that I wasn't expecting. And what I mean by that is that, you know, I felt the calling to witness to my family, to bring them along with me. Now, the paces were never really the same, and they haven't been, but they will all get there, right? And so the less likely part that brought me out of my, whatever you want to call it, was as I was feeling low, my son comes to me and out of the blue and after praying about it, he says, hey Dad, can we start praying at night? And I was like, wow, where is that coming from? And it told me that he was listening here in church. And so we started praying at night, and I see his growth coming through the church and through our family, and now wanting to be baptized, wanting to be a part of this in such a greater way than what he had before. And so when I looked at that, I thought, okay, I had prayed for it, didn't know how the answer was going to be given to me, and it happened to be with a mission within my own household. So Alec has brought me back, and now what it has done for me is I get up in the morning now and have made significant time in the morning to be able to get into the scripture. And for me, that's the key for it all, for me to get my heart in the right alignment and to get my family in alignment. And so John chapter 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish and it will be done for you. That was what my wish was. It was given to me, and it's a true testament to what God can do. And that's my story.
So God is doing some pretty amazing things here in our community, as you can hear. We are on mission. And you can see that all it takes is just a little bit to step out and see God is doing amazing things. We are growing in width. We're growing in depth. And as we've established those rhythms as a church, now we can see that we are definitely on mission. One of the things I want to do now is bring Kurt and Haley up. If I could have Paul come up and maybe Mike, and let's see. Could you guys come up and pray? So one of the things that we want to do as we are on mission is just to kind of anoint and ascend a new community group plant. And as they start on Wednesdays at 6:30, these two were a part of my group. Haley's going to be right here. This is their baby, Olive. They've been a part of my group, and they've been leaders at other churches before they got here, and I'm just so blessed by this couple, and now they're starting a new community group, which you guys are invited to, and so what we want to do is invite you to pray with me, and one of the ways that invitation comes is if you're comfortable to reach your hand forward and pray with me as we anoint these two. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for an anointing over their lives, that they would be on mission. They would be leaders in what it looks like to experience true biblical community, where we bear one another's burdens and laugh with those who laugh and cry with those who cry. That is, they dive into the scriptures, that you would anoint them by the power of your spirit to enlighten those that are listening and discussing your word. And I pray that they could disciple well, Lord, the great commission you have called them to. So I pray in Jesus' name that you would empower them and commission them to fulfill the great commission here in Goleta and Santa Barbara area, that they could teach all things that you have taught them to others, that you would use them to see people come to know who you are, and that you would bless this group. And Lord, I pray for grace as they raise Olive. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.